Well, tonight we want to turn back and look at Jehoshaphat's life a little bit more and learn a little bit more from him. You know, we had studied a few weeks ago about Jehoshaphat and his prayer and how he turned to God during a difficult time. But tonight we want to look at the other side of Jehoshaphat. And the Bible tells us that Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a good man. He trusted the Lord. He loved the Lord. And he wasn't like a lot of the other kings that worshipped idols and different things that some of them did. But the scripture that we want to look at tonight from 2 Chronicles chapter 19 and verse number 2 says, "And Jehu the son of Hananiah the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, 'Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord?'" Good question. We know the answer to that, don't we? Should we help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Should we support those that are enemies to the Lord? That's the question that Jehu asked. Obviously, Jehoshaphat had been doing that. Because he goes on to say, "Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." He said, Jehoshaphat, God's angry at you because you've been providing aid to the enemy. You know, in a time of war, to provide aid to the enemy can be considered treason. And we are in a war against Satan and against his followers. Ahab, the king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" He said, "Let's be allies. Let's go fight this war together against these enemies." Jehoshaphat says, "You bet." He says, "My people are like your people, and I am like you." He said, in essence, "We're allies, sure. We're brethren, aren't we?" They were both kings over some of the tribes of Israel. Ahab king over the northern tribes, Jehoshaphat king over the southern tribes. So he said, "Yeah, let's go." And then Jehoshaphat said, "But wait, let's ask the Lord about it." And so Ahab assembles all of his false prophets, and they all tell him to go up. God's going to deliver the kingdom into your hand, no problem. And Jehoshaphat said, "Well, wait, isn't there a prophet of the Lord that we can ask?" And so he said, "Well, there's one, but I don't like him because he never says anything good about me." And so he calls for Micaiah. And they get Micaiah and they said, "Okay, now look, all the other prophets are saying good things. You need to say good things too. Tell the king something good." So when Micaiah gets in there, he very mockingly says, "Oh yeah, king, go ahead, go up to battle. God's going to be with you. You're going to win. Nothing bad can happen to you." That's what all the other prophets had told him. Ahab said to him, "Now, how many times do I have to tell you to tell me the truth?" And Micaiah said, "Okay, you want to hear the truth?" Verse 16, he said, "I saw Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace.'" In other words, he said, king is going to get killed in this battle. The leader of the sheep is going to get killed. So, of course, Ahab is angry at that. The false prophets, they're angry at that. Of course, verse 17, Ahab says to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he wouldn't prophesy good, but only evil? Then there are some other conflict between Micaiah and one of the other prophets where the prophet gets angry at him and calls him a liar, and Micaiah says, hey, you'll see who the liar is when you go up and die in your chamber. The king said, put him in the prison until I return in peace. And Micaiah said, if you return in peace, I haven't spoken the words of the Lord. The Lord hadn't spoken by me if you come back alive. So Ahab, Jehoshaphat, come up with a plan. Ahab says, I'm going to disguise myself, but you go ahead and you wear your kingly robes. And so they do that, and they go into the battle. Now the king of Syria had told some of them, don't fight with anybody except the king of Israel. You don't mess with anybody else. You just find him and kill him. And so they saw Jehoshaphat. They said, oh, look, hey, there's a guy in the kingly robes. That must be him. And so they go off after Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat cried out to the Lord, and the Lord helped him. And he moved them to depart from him. And when they saw that it was not the king of Israel, wasn't Ahab, they left and started looking for Ahab again. Well, you can't hide from the judgment of the Lord. Ahab had disguised himself, had put on common clothes, and you know, he wasn't wearing his crown, didn't have a sign that said, hey, I'm the king of Israel. But when the Lord had decreed something, there was nothing Ahab could do to stop it. It says a certain man just drew a bow at a venture. He just said, hey, the enemy's over there. I'm going to shoot my arrow over there. Wasn't really aiming at anybody in particular. Just pulled it at random. And he hit the king of Israel. And it was a mortal wound. He called for his chariot man to get him out of the chariot, but the king died that day about the time of the sun going down. Ahab died. And it's right after this that Jehoshaphat is returning to his house in peace. He's still alive. That Jehu comes to him and asks him this question. Should you be helping the ungodly? Should you be loving them that hate the Lord? Now we understand that we're supposed to love our enemies, pray for our enemies, and certainly the ungodly are our enemies. But we're not to be supporting them. We're not to be doing anything that's going to encourage them or to help them in their ungodly ways. We may help them by teaching them the gospel. We may help them by pointing out what is right. But supporting their evil ways is not helping them in the way that God wants us to. And we might think about it quite simply in terms of the alcoholic. We know that if someone is an alcoholic, they've got to stay away from alcohol. And for us to give that person a drink of alcohol wouldn't be helping them, even if they begged us to. To give the person who's addicted to drugs, drugs, we're not helping them. Not in the way that God wants us to help them. Now, they might call it helping them. Why won't you help me? You need to help me. No. God tells me I'm not supposed to help the ungodly to continue to be ungodly. Now we see it clearly in situations like that. We say, oh, well, I'd never do that. I'm not going to help somebody do something wicked like that. So let's bring it home to some things that we do that fit this category. What do you love? You have a favorite television show? Favorite series of books? A favorite set of music? Favorite places to go? Things to buy? We have lots of favorites. We love all sorts of things. In our society, you can get anything. And most of those things you can get legally. So what do you love? Say, look, I just love such and such. Well, what about that thing that you love? Think about the things you love. The things you spend money on. The things you spend time doing. Are those things that are evil? Are those things that are put out there by those that hate the Lord? Are you supporting the ungodly? Now we understand, you know, to some degree that we can't avoid all sinful people in the world. We understand that. And when we go in the grocery store and buy food to eat, there's some of those same companies that produce that food and put that food on the shelves, some of those same companies do some wicked things. All of them do, because they're all worldly. But there are some who are going out of their way to produce wickedness and to draw people into sin and to cause people to stumble. And do we support them? Do we encourage them in that? Let me look at this example. You know, the Disney organization puts out some wonderful little things. They put out some very good little cartoons, some cute little things for children, some things that are pretty good. And they made Winnie the Pooh, and they made all sorts of things that teach good moral lessons and all those kinds of things. Now, that same company also makes some movies that are nothing short of softcore pornography. Now, if we buy the cartoon, we're not necessarily supporting the pornography. But if we go and buy those movies, or go to see the movies at the theater that are filled with the ungodliness, then we're supporting them continuing to make those kinds of movies and continuing to corrupt young people with those kinds of movies. The same book company that may put out a very good series of books may also put out a very evil series of books. They may put out some books that are filled with all sorts of evil things. Well, if I buy the good books, that encourages that company to publish more authors who write good books. If I buy those books that are full of all sorts of wickedness, then I'm encouraging that company to publish more books by authors who write that kind of filth. So as I pick and choose what I buy, for example, I don't know, you know, the Kraft company is owned by Philip Morris, who's also a big cigarette maker.
Well, if I go and buy some Kraft mayonnaise or Kraft Miracle Whip, I'm not trying to support their making of the cigarettes, even though it's the same company. But if I go and buy the cigarettes, then I'm certainly supporting their continuing to make those cigarettes. In the same way, some of the beer companies own other subsidiaries that make all sorts of things from potato chips to frozen foods. If I go and buy the food product, I'm not trying to encourage the alcohol. Now, they may choose to use that money to do that, and I can't control that. Paul tells us in the book of Corinthians, when he's talking about the ungodly and the sinner, he's talking specifically about the Christian who's claiming to be a brother, but who in essence is living worldly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 9, he says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must you needs go out of the world. And he tells us, you can't avoid every person who sins, because you have to leave the world, because the world is full of sinful people. But what he says then is, but now I've written to you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, no, not to eat. But he says, you can't just stop doing business. Paul also in another place says, eat whatever is in the marketplace, buy the thing that is in the marketplace. Because some of the people back then, they had the problem. People would take the meat, they'd maybe slaughter a cow, and they'd take the meat and they'd sacrifice it to their idol, heathen god, and then they'd bring it to the marketplace and sell it. And Paul said, you can't go about investigating whether the meat you're buying in the marketplace has been sacrificed to an idol or not. Well, you can't go that far. But he says, if someone says, this meat has been sacrificed to an idol, he says, now don't eat that meat. If they just come right out and tell you. There are a lot of groups that do a lot of good things, but who also support some bad things. Think about the United Way. The United Way does a lot of good things. They give money to all sorts of good organizations that help people. But you know, they also give money to some special interest homosexual groups and to some abortionist groups and some of those kinds of things as well. And that's a sad thing. Now, certainly if I have the choice between a group that gives only to causes that I agree with versus one that gives to causes that I disagree with, it's easy to make the choice. Of course, when it comes to giving money, many times we can pick and choose where we give our money instead of just giving it to somebody else and say, okay, you decide what to do with it. We pick and choose and say, hey, this I think is a good cause. I'm going to give my money here. We need to think about the fact that we are dealing with a war. And we, at times, may be aiding the enemy by supporting them, by doing those things and encouraging those things that will cause others to fall into sin as well. And we think about things like adultery and fornication and say, I know better than that. I wouldn't do that. I would never sleep with somebody I'm not married to. I know better. I'm not going to do that. But then we'll turn around and talk about shows on TV or books that we read or other things like that. That's my favorite of all. Oh, I love that movie. I love that book. I love that song. And those things be filled with people doing that very thing. Well, I'd never do that. And we're encouraging those to do. We're helping the ungodly. We're loving those that hate the Lord. And we do that kind of thing. Romans chapter 1. In verse number 29, Paul lists several sins. Talks about being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. But notice what he says in verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God that they who commit such things are worthy of death. These are shameful things. That God says that it's worthy of death. Not only do the same. But somebody said, they do those things. We say, oh, I'd never do that. That's bad. I'm not going to do that. Notice the last phrase in that chapter. But have pleasure in them that do them. He says having pleasure in those that are doing these wicked things is right in there with doing them yourself. If I did it, I wouldn't do that. You know what group in the United States pushes harder than any other to try to get homosexuality to be accepted as a normal lifestyle and has pushed for homosexual marriage and all of these kind of things and has pushed for abortion and is pushing for assisted suicide and all of these kinds of things. You know what group pushes for those kind of things more than, and puts more money into those kinds of things than any other group? They could become the guests. It's that Hollywood crowd. They make shows and movies where these things are glorified. Drug use is glorified. Drink it. Now, when was the last time that you saw a cute television show or movie where there wasn't somebody drinking? Every show. There are exceptions to that. There are some good things out there. We need to try to encourage the good and stay away from the bad and discourage that bad. And not, well, I took that as an example, but the same thing is true in our local setting. You know, both of our grocery stores sell alcohol. So if you're going to buy a grocery, you're going to buy them somewhere where they sell alcohol. But you know, if one of our grocery stores quit selling alcohol, didn't sell alcohol, I'd go to that grocery store all the time. Even if I had to pay more for it. Because that would be encouraging good. It'd be encouraging them to continue that practice. So we've got to think about ways that we can encourage the good to be done. You know, in war, supporting the enemy. They have all sorts of phrases for it, giving aid and comfort to the enemy. They talk about collaborating with the enemy. They talk about all these phrases and all these things when you're involved with the enemy so closely. What about us in our spiritual life? How closely do we get entangled with sinful things? Well, as we close, y'all can't believe I said that already. As we close, I want us to look back to Jehoshaphat one more time. How much did he entangle himself? And you remember how wicked Ahab was. Ahab and Jezebel? I mean, you know, people don't even name the kids Ahab and Jezebel if they're in the right mind, because those two people have a known for being the most wicked there ever was. And here's Jehoshaphat, a good king. You know how entangled he got with Ahab? He got so entangled with Ahab that he wound up allowing his children become intermarried with Ahab's descendants. Abram is the family. That's right. Married them into the family. Got tangled up with him. Jehoshaphat got so involved with Ahab that after Ahab's death, when Ahab's son Ahaziah was king, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 35 says, and after this, did Jehoshaphat king of Judah join himself with Ahaziah king of Israel, who did very wickedly, and he joined himself with him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships. Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Merishah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works. And the ship was broken that they were not able to go to Tarshish. The Lord destroyed the works of his hands because of the fact that he had joined himself with Eva. He had been stopped with Ahab. He then joined himself with Ahab's son. And of course, as mentioned already, that he allowed his son to marry into Ahab's family, making alliances with evil. You've got to watch out. It's so easy to forget that we're in a war here. Jesus said, whoever is not with me is against me. And whoever does not gather scatters abroad. You need to make up your mind. And you know, if a terrorist came and wanted to stay at your house, wanted you to feed them, clothe them, help give them some money so they could buy their materials to make bombs, well, you'd never think about doing that. You say, how could I do that? Against my own country? You turn them in. Call the police or the FBI. Have them arrest them. But Satan is much worse than Osama bin Laden or any of the Al-Qaeda leaders or any, worse than Hitler. Worse than Saddam. If you name whoever the evil guy you can think of, Satan would be on the bottom. He's the master of evil. And he's got followers who spiritually are practicing terrorism every day. And sometimes we give them money. We give them support. We give them encouragement. We need to think about what we're doing, because we may cause the whole ship to sink. There's a story of a ship that was traveling across the Mediterranean, and one of the passengers cut a hole through the side of the ship. The sailors came and demanded to know what he was doing. He said, what difference does it make to you? The hole's under my own boat. We're in this ship together. And if we start undermining it, we start drilling holes in it, and it starts sinking, there's a good chance we'll all drown. We've got to be able to trust each other that we're going to be doing what's right, that we're going to be supporting the good and shunning the evil. Both with our words, and we say that, we say we're going to. And we've got to do it with our actions. Got to do it with our pocketbooks. We've got to be sure that we're supporting the good and not supporting the evil. Should you help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? No. Are you supporting and helping the ungodly and loving them that love the Lord? Question only you can answer. If you need to answer it,
They who told Jehoshaphat, because of this, the wrath of the Lord is on you. You think the wrath of the Lord won't be on us today for the same things? It will. He doesn't want us to be supporting evil. We're supposed to be on His side. The devil's got enough folks on his side. If you're here tonight and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.